We're going to be looking in Jeremiah this morning. Have you ever heard the saying, don't kill the messenger? I don't get to pick what I preach. I don't get to pick what I teach. He does. Much like when he sent all the prophets, you know. They didn't get to tell the people what they wanted to hear. They only could tell the people what God wanted them to know. And so Jeremiah, he was called the weeping prophet, and this is why. We're going to begin in verse 23. It says, "But this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you'll be my people." So understand that God does not give suggestions. God gives commandments. His commandments are to keep his statutes. God has created a certain amount of statutes that he expects humanity to live by. And these are not suggestions that we take lightly, but these are suggestions. These are commandments that he gives us, and he expects us to live by them. And he says, I'll be your God, and you'll be my people. We just assume that God is there for us. We just assume that God is loving and his open arms, and he's waiting for us to come. But that is contrary to what the scriptures read. God makes a very bold statement here that I will be your God and you'll be my people if you do what I say. Jesus Christ very clearly says, I will be your friend if you do what I say. So again, there's this aspect of he is an authority over us. He's an authority over our lives. And he has given us the scriptures so that we would know where we are wrong and where we are right. And unfortunately, his word comes full circle and says that we've all sinned and come short of his glory, that none of us are righteous. There's no, not one. Isaiah said, my righteousness is like filthy rags before him. So understand that these are not suggestions, but he says, obey my voice and I'll be your God and you'll be my people, and you will walk in all the way which I command you, that it may be well with you. You want to know why it's not well with us in our world? Is because we have become so far from Scripture, and we've allowed religion. Remember what religion is. Religion is man's attempt to please God. Who were the people that gave Jesus his most difficult time while he was on this earth? It wasn't the sinners. It was the religious people who are sinners. You know, religious, as I said, don't kill the messenger, okay? It's religious people that are sinners. It's religious people that have not come to realization that who they are before a holy God, and therefore they have a religious attitude to go around and condemn others instead of looking at their own lives and allowing the scriptures to unfold in their lives to say that you've already been condemned. So why in the world does the religious folks in the churches today go around condemning folks when God has said, I've already condemned humanity? And this is why he sent his son, so that we would not have to suffer the wrath. Read John 3:16 very closely, and you'll see why he sent and why he loved the world so much, is so that we would not perish, because there will be a perishing. And this is what he's saying. If you wanted to go well with you, he was telling the nation of Israel, if you wanted to go well with you, you just simply better do what I say. We don't get to decide whether God is right or whether God is wrong. God has laid it out very plainly and said, this is how it is. We have to come to the point of where God leads us to where he is sovereign and holy, instead of us bringing a God down and creating a God for us that fits our needs. God is not here for our needs. God is here and created us for his own purpose. And he saves us to do his will in our lives and do with us what he wants. He goes on to say, yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but walked in their own counsels, in their own stubbornness of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. You see, when we try to please God in our own way, we're going backwards and not forwards. There is nowhere in Scripture that God says, I need you to work for me. Matter of fact, Jesus even said, I don't trust man because I know what's in man. And yet, do we not put our trust in humans? And we do not trust in the holy God who gave us his word and is able to do something for us that we can't do for ourselves? And yet, make sure you're not moving backward. When you begin to say, well, I will do this for God and I will do that for God, you're moving backwards and you're not moving forward. You simply be obedient to his commandments about who we are. It's not about what we do. Since the day that your fathers, this is in verse 25, came out of the land of Egypt until this day, I have sent you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising early and sending them. He used to walk hand in hand with Adam and Eve. And he simply said, don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But Satan comes along and deceives them and says, but wait a minute. If you eat from the tree, you'll be like God. Don't you want to be like God? And Eve looked at the fruit and said, you know, this is pleasing to me. And it doesn't make any sense why we have a tree in the garden we can't eat, so we'll eat. And as just as God had said, the moment you eat, your eyes would be opened and you'd know good from evil and you'll die. Not only will they die physically, but they died spiritually at that moment, and God could no longer walk with them hand in hand. So basically, he then to speak with man through angels. And when that didn't work, he began to send his prophets. And very many prophets went to the nation of Israel. He picked and chose this nation of Israel to show that humanity could not please God in any form or fashion. And he sent many of the prophets, and they rejected the prophets. And then God said, I'll speak one last time to mankind. And I'll take the word. The word was with God in the beginning, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, is what it says in John. And he said, I'll send my son one last time to give humanity a warning. They need to have a warning. I'm a just God, and I'm a holy God, and I'm a loving God, and I do not want to surprise anybody. So I will send my son, and I will, at this last moment, I will speak truth to humanity, and they can either reject me or they can accept my word, and they can allow the Holy Spirit to convict them in their lives through the word of God and bring them to the newness of life and to that new birth experience, which he told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And if you're not born of the Spirit, then you're just flesh. Flesh begets flesh, spirit begets spirit. And as we talked last Sunday, sin is hereditary, okay? We're all born in that iniquity. And then he goes on to say, this is what's difficult as a prophet in this time. He says, yet they did not listen to me or incline their ear, but stiffened their neck, and they did more evil than their fathers. You're going to speak to them, Jeremiah. You're going to speak all the words that I'm going to say to them, but they will not listen to you. You shall call them, but they will not answer you. You shall say to them, this is the nation that did not obey the voice of Lord their God or accept corrections. Truth has perished and has been cut off from their mouth. Cut off your hair and cast it away and take up lamentation on the bare heights, for the Lord has rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath. And we think God is all loving. Yes, he's all loving, but there's another side of God that this world and this religious world does not want to talk about. You see, religion is very deceptive on the truth of God. Religion just talks about how loving God is, and there's no wrath of God, and there's nothing. God just accepts everybody as they are, and there's only a half truth, because he does accept us where we are, but he loves us enough not to leave us where he finds us. And it is God who finds us, it's not us who finds him. God allows himself to be found, and I can prove that in Scripture. It's all written in Scripture that if God doesn't allow us to find him, he will not be found. And yet he's rejecting this generation because of their disobedience, because they've decided that they will approach God the way that they want to. They'll worship God the way they want to. Read chapter 7, the first six verses here. I'm going to read it very quickly. The word came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, this is not Jeremiah's thoughts. These were not Jeremiah's ideas. Matter of fact, Jeremiah was very happy just to mind his own business. And God said, no, I'm going to choose you. You're going to go and you're going to speak to this nation and they're not going to listen to you. And here's what he said. Stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim that this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all you of Judah and who enter by the gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your deeds, and I will let you dwell in this place. I will let you dwell in this place. You don't get to dwell in this place unless I let you dwell in this place. We forgot the sovereignty and authority of God in our lives. Do not trust in deceptive words, saying that this is the temple of the Lord. The temple of the Lord is us now. The Holy Spirit resides in us when we are born again and we become that child. Then the Spirit, does he not say that? You were born in iniquity. You were born dead in trespass of sin, but now you're the temple of God. Did you not know that the Spirit of God dwells in you? That you were bought with a price? You're not your own? I mean, it's all in Scripture. If we take just a moment to read it all in its entirety and let the Holy Spirit walk us through it and teach us these things over time. For if you truly amend your ways and your deeds, if you truly practice justice between man and his neighbor, if you do not oppress the alien, the orphan, or the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, nor walk after other gods to your own ruin, then I will let you dwell in this place, in the land that I have gave you to your fathers forever and ever. Behold, you're trusting in deceptive words to no avail. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, and offer sacrifices to Baal, walk after other gods that you have not known? Then come to and stand before me in this house, which is called by name, and say, we are delivered, that you may do all these abominations? Has this house, which is called by name, become a den of robbers in the sight? Behold, I, even I, have seen it, declares the Lord. I think our world, and I think our churches today, which are not really the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're just a bunch of just religious people that get together condemning and snotting our nose at a lost world and thinking that our sins don't stink. And this is why people won't even give God even a chance anymore, because all they see is all this religious garbage out there. God's going to ruffle the feathers of these religious people. I hope as somebody gets onto our website and hears this message and you on Zoom, you understand that this message is coming from God, and he is upset and he is distasteful to the religious world that we have come. Religion is created by Satan. Because Satan is fooling people that they think they're okay with God, when they're not, because they're listening to man. And you can't have all these denominations. You can't have the Baptists. You can't have the Methodists. You can't have the Catholics. You can't have the Protestants. You can't have the Buddhists. You can't have the Jehovah's Witness. You can't have the Mormons and say, oh, we're all praising God, because there's only one God, there's one Father, there's one Son, and there's only one Word. And we have messed it up because we're listening to man, and man has put his own twist on God's Word, and now we have all these denominations. We've divided Christ so much, and any kingdom divided against itself will fall, and the religious kingdom will fall. You don't think it's not true? Look at Romans 8:5-14. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. You think about what religious people do. All these people that go to church instead of being the church. And there's a tremendous difference in going to church and being the church. You have to be born into the church, or you can go join a church. And you join a church, you're nothing but religious, okay? You're trying to please God, which you can't do, and I'm going to get ready to prove that to you. But those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the laws of God, for it is not even able to do so. The natural man cannot understand spiritual things. He can't even if he wants to. This has to be revealed to us, or you're not going to get it. So that's why we have all these different theologians out there. That's why we have all these different colleges of theology, which know nothing about God. They know nothing about or were taught by God. They were taught by men. Some professor began to teach the younger ones, and the younger ones then grew up and teach the younger ones, and this is why we have the mess we have today, because we do no longer have one God. We no longer have one spirit. We no longer have one faith, but we have all this smorgasbord of garbage that we call religion. Religion will send you to hell faster than anything you've ever dreamed of. Satan loves religion because it fools man's, and it fools man's heart that they're somehow pleasing to God when God says, there's nothing pleasing about you. He goes on to say in verse 8, and those are who are in the flesh cannot please God. There you go. Period. You're born in the flesh. Your mom was flesh, your dad was flesh, and therefore you are flesh. You can't please him. So quit trying. He never asked you to please him. He says, I'm going to do something for you that you can't do for yourself. I'm going to please myself through my son, Jesus Christ. I will give you the spirit of holiness, and I will put that inside you. It will reside in you. And now I am pleased with you, not based on what you do, but I'm based on who you are. Religion always looks on what you're doing, how you're acting. What sins you give up. Isn't it nice how those religious folks only pick certain sins to pick on, but yet they cheat at work, they cheat on the time, they speed, they do all these things, but their sin, isn't it funny how religious people's sins don't stink? Huh? Isn't that amazing? Just your sin stinks, not theirs. Let me tell you what, folks, we have all sinned and come short of his glory. And if God doesn't reveal himself to us, we'll all die and perish. If Jesus Christ wasn't raised from the dead and God did not accept that great gift that he's given us, then we would all perish and die and go to hell. That's what we deserve. That's what a holy God says we deserve. But yet, because of his love, he doesn't want us to perish. Let's look at Exodus 32, 1 through 10. This is where you think religion just now started? Folks, I'm going to prove to you this morning that religion started back in Exodus. Not only were the Egyptians serving false gods and creating gods for themselves that would please them, we are not here to please God. I mean, God is, he makes us an instrument that he can use to please himself. God is not for us, we're for God. And this is where religion began. In the people of Israel. Now when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people assembled around Aaron and said to him, come, make us a God who will go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we don't know what's happened to him. See, Moses had gone up on the mountain, had been there for 40 days. God was getting ready to give him the commandments that the people would have to live by. And all of a sudden the people say, you know what? This is not what we want. See, if I don't like what the Baptists say, I'll go to the Methodist church. If I don't like what the Methodists say, I'll go to the Catholic church. If I don't like what the Catholics say and I want to get a little peppy, I'll go to the Pentecostal church. And if that don't work, we'll have the Jehovah's Witness come by. If I don't like what they say, then we'll listen to the Mormons. If we don't like what the Mormons say, then we'll just live our life any way we want, and we'll just go to God any way we want. I don't think this is how we do this, folks. I don't think this is what God intended for us. So what did he do? Aaron, this is the high priest now. This is the high priest. This is the spokesman for God. Oh, tear off your gold rings, which on your ears and your wives and your sons and your daughters, and bring them to me. Then all the people tore off the gold rings which were in the ears, and they brought them to Aaron. He took them from their hand, and he fashioned it with a graving tool and made it into a molten calf. And they said, this is your God, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. Now, the amazing thing about this is when Moses came down from the mountain and he said, Aaron, what have you done? Aaron said, well, I just took all the gold and I threw it in the fire and out come this calf. Folks, just because you're a preacher, just because you're a teacher, you still have the same humanity deficits that we all have. Preachers are just people that have been given a particular job, just like Jeremiah, to go talk to the people, knowing that most are not going to listen. You know why they're not going to listen? Because God tells me not going to listen. He said that road is narrow and there's few on it. There's few that'll ever find it. But the road to destruction is broad and there's many on it. So I know that people aren't going to listen to me. And I know when the religious world hears this sermon, their feathers are going to ruffle just like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, because it's not what they've designed. See, we don't want what God has designed for us. We want a God, and we want to create a God that fits our needs and allows us to live in the flesh and allows us to live in our fleshly desires instead of coming to the realization that we're undone and what God calls sin is sin. No discussion. We don't get to debate with God. We don't get to make deals with God. You know, most people, when they talk with God, it's about physical salvation, not spiritual salvation. So he saves you from cancer. So he saves you from whatever turmoil you're going through. But you die and go to hell. What good is that? What kind of God do you want that just delivers you physically and not go the step further and deliver you physically? Don't create a God that doesn't exist. Matter of fact, the Bible warns us about the false Jesuses that will come and how everybody's given Jesus all the glory when Jesus himself never took glory for himself but always gave it to the Father. So make sure the Jesus you're following gives glory to the Father. Okay? Now when Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation, said, tomorrow shall be the feast of the Lord. So the next day they rose early and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and people sat down to eat, drink, and rose up to play. Man, these people are happy. Okay, they're Baptists now. They're Baptists, they're Methodists, they're Pentecostals. They're excited because of what they're doing for God. They created their own God that allows them to rise up and play. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, go down at once for your people whom you've brought up from the land. God said, they ain't my people. They your people. You the one that brought them up. Not me. I didn't do this. No, from the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They've quickly turned aside from the way which I commanded them. Again, God commands us. God does not give us. Oh, what do you think about this, Lloyd? Do you think that we should do it this way? God didn't ask me about nothing. My opinion about God doesn't matter. God is God all by himself. Here's somebody that speaks something into existence, and you think for one moment that God needs you? How arrogant and prideful are we in our human flesh to think that God needs us for anything? God allows us to exist. It says in Revelation very clearly, they only exist because you allow them to exist. They have quickly turned aside from the way which I commanded them. They have made for themselves a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed to it and said, this is your God, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. The Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, they are an obstinate people. You know why God chose this people? Because they're obstinate people. You know why he made the first covenant with them? It's to show us the depravity of humanity. See, the first covenant was based on what you do. It was based on the fact that you keep every one of my commandments. And that's the only way you can come before me, if you keep every one of them and not annihilate one single letter of the law. And he showed us that in humanity we can't do that. So Jesus Christ came and fulfilled the law in perfection. It says in Scripture that he was tempted in every way that man could be tempted and yet was without sin. So he went and he represented mankind, and death was the penalty for what we were So there is this universal salvation, but there's not the individual salvation. God used Jesus Christ to save humanity, but each individual has to obey the ifs of God. If you don't become a disciple, if you're not taught by God, okay? If the Holy Spirit does not convict you through the Word of God, don't let anybody else convict you of your sin, please. No one has a right to convict you. You belong to God, and God in His own ideology will convict you if you approach it with the right mind and the right spirit. Don't open up this Word of God to prove what you believe, but open up the Word of God to let Him teach you so you know what to believe. Don't let some man tell you you're okay, because you'll stand before Him, as He says in Matthew chapter 7. Many on that day will say, "Lord, Lord," and not enter the kingdom of God. Just because you call Him Lord doesn't mean you're going. See, it's not even about going to heaven, folks. Scripture says that He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God. It's about being His righteousness. It's about being His righteousness. And I can't be holy and I can't be righteous till He comes and resides inside of me. Discipleship is so that we come to the point where we're taught by God. Faith comes from hearing, hearing by the Word, so that one day that wind will blow, like He told Nicodemus. You know, one of these days, the Holy Spirit will come and reside in you. If you stay faithful and you read the Word of God, it's not how much you read the Word of God, it's how not how much you're in the Word of God, but it's how much of the Word of God gets in you. It's about you becoming that instrument of God, not what you're doing for Him again. Let's look at Amos, because this is pretty amazing. We're going to probably stay here till 6 o'clock. Amos chapter 5. Now y'all turn me off, ain't you? I got to eat something at 12. I'm going to speak real fast. Amos 5, 21. I will honor the Baptist rule, okay? We got to be out by 12. God says here, I reject your festivals. Nor do I delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me up burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them. And I will not even look at the peace offerings of your fatlings. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not even listen to the sounds of your harps, but that justice roll down from the waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. So all these churches that gather together, they say in the name of Christ, but there's no integrity or character in their lives. They're more concerned about looking at your sin than looking at their own. They're more concerned about your walk instead of their own walk. Like I've told you a million times, if you don't pray for yourself first, you're actually no good to anybody else. If God doesn't reveal who you are, you'll never know who you are. He said, "Did you present with me sacrifices and grain offerings in the wilderness for 40 years, O house of Israel? You also carried along Sikkoth, your king, and Kinyon, your images, the star of your gods, which you made for yourselves. Therefore, I will make you go into exile beyond Damascus, says the Lord." There are consequences. There are consequences to not obeying a holy God. Matthew 23, 1 through 10. Then Jesus spoke to the crowds and His disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the high chair of Moses." Okay, again, these Pharisees and Sadducees are the religious leaders of the day. They read the scriptures every single day, and yet Jesus stood in front of them and they didn't recognize who He was, because He wasn't revealed to them by God. "Therefore, all that they tell you, do and observe, but do not do according to their own deeds, for they say things and do not do them. Does that sound like our churches today? They're going to tell you how to live. But they live whatever they want. Huh? Does that not sound just like it? We don't change, folks. The humanity of man is the same as it was years ago. We don't ever change. As a matter of fact, we're falling further and further away from what God intended. They tie up heavy burdens and lay them on men's shoulders. You got to do this. You got to do this. You got to do that. Well, if you don't give this, and if you don't go there, and if you don't write a book, why do we have to write a book about God when God wrote his own book? Why do you read a book about God instead of reading the book that God wrote? Why do you read a book that's dead and why not read the book that's alive? Why not read the book that can dissect you and tell you who you are and where you stand before God? Why do we do this? Because religion feels better. Because religion allows us to stay in our sin and serve God. But you're not serving God, as he is telling right here. I'm not going to do it. And these religious people are telling people what to do, but they themselves have no integrity. But they do all their deeds to be noticed by men, for they broaden their phylacteries and lengthen their tassels of their garments. They love the place of honor at banquets and the chief seats in the synagogues, and respectful greetings in the marketplaces, and being called rabbi by men. See, religious people like to come up front and get patted on the back. Like I've always told you, if you have to get a thank you, you've done it for the wrong reason. Folks, God says don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing when you do something good. But all the religious people want acknowledgement for what they've done. They want people to know they've gone on that mission trip. Even though they've painted those poor people's houses 10 times this year, Disneyland mission trips, folks. Okay? When you can't even talk to your neighbor, that's why you have to go on a mission trip. Because you're religious, and them people, neighbors, can't stand you. They've seen how you act. And yet you proclaim God Almighty, and yet you yourselves can't handle the sin burden in your life and become the instrument that God can use to speak to your neighbor. You're no different than the Pharisees and Sadducees. But this goes on even further. But this is God's word. But do not be called rabbi. Who's called rabbis? Which religion is called rabbis? He says in his word, don't be called rabbi. For one is your teacher, you and all your brothers. Do not call anyone on earth your father. Huh? What religion causes their pastors and ministers father? I'm not going to call them out. You know who they are. God's word said don't do it. For one is your father who is in heaven. Do not be called leaders. Huh? How about all these people? I'm your spiritual leader. Huh? It says right here, for one is your leader, and that is Christ. Finishing up. See, I'm gonna make it. Luke 18, 9 to 14. See, Jesus told this parable. Not heard anything else this morning. I pray that you'll hear this. And he also told this parable to some of the people who trusted in themselves. See, religious people trust in themselves. They say they trust in God. And then when the rubber meets the road, then they act like anybody else. It's easy for me to tell you to have faith when I'm not going through what you're going through. Religious people are the most insensitive people on this planet. But God's people, true children of God, have compassion and love because they know what they've been forgiven of. If I truly know what I, myself, and God has shown me what I am, he's forgiven me, it makes it a whole lot easier to forgive others and have compassion for others that are struggling. You see, the Bible talks about us being in bondage to sin, and when you're in bondage to something, then you can't do anything but sin. And to be released from that, where now you have a choice to sin or not, yet sometimes still sinning, as we work through this, and it's not about being perfect, but it's about God perfecting us to become in His image and to have His integrity and His love for one another, because the judgment of God is coming. And to know what I've been forgiven of allows me to be able to be like this man here, the one that knows that he's undone, that knows that he's hopelessly, helplessly lost. But he says, two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Tax collectors were evil. They cheated people. They took more than what they were supposed to. The Pharisee was that guy that was teaching in the temple every Sunday. He was the Joel Osteen of the old biblical times. A spiritual motivator. Go do this, and God's going to do this, and promising that God's going to... God, I can't promise you what God's going to do in your life. The only thing I can promise you is what God has promised in His Word. See, but religious people like to tell people, well, if you go do this, then God's got to do this. God doesn't have to do anything. Listen, begin to listen to the words of religion, and you'll and compare it to what God's Word actually says, and it'll begin to stand out for you. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself: God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like the tax collector. Does that sound like the Baptists and the Methodists and the Protestant and all them? Man, look at us. Look what we're doing for God. You nasty, dirty people. Get your life right. You shouldn't live that way. Huh? That's what this guy's standing up and saying. Huh? Look at me. I preach in the synagogues every Sunday. And look at me, I walk around in the robe, looking and, You know what, the religious leaders couldn't even get it right. You got the Sadducees, who didn't believe in a resurrection, but they were the religious leaders of that day, so they were teaching people that there is no resurrection. Well, the Pharisees, they believed all the angels and all the dreams and all that stuff. So even back in these times, Methodists, Protestants, Baptists, Catholics, this is where it all began, folks, is the fact that we begin to listen to men and not listen to holy God. Please don't go to hell because some man told you you were okay. Gosh, I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. See, it's not about what you do, it's about who you are. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was unwilling to lift his eyes to heaven, but was beating his chest. God be merciful to me, I'm a sinner. How do you know he was a sinner? That's the question we don't ask. How did this guy know he was a sinner, and how did the other guy know he was wrong? Because the sinner, the tax collector, it was revealed to him what he was in the presence of a holy God, where the Pharisees decided that I'm good because of what I'm doing for God. Folks, the scripture is very clear that if God doesn't do something for you, you're lost. It's about Him doing something for you, not about you doing something for Him. But listen to how God ends this. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. Folks, God doesn't lie. Religion is Satan's tool to fool men that they're okay with God. The scripture is very clear and plain that if his spirit doesn't bear witness with your spirit that you're a child of God, then you're not. If the spirit of Christ doesn't dwell in you, then you're not his. It's not taught anymore because it puts man in a dilemma that they can't do anything about their lostness. You can't have a smorgasbord, folks. There's only one God. There's only one Christ. There's only one Holy Spirit. And there's only one faith. And it brings everyone to the end of themselves. And then God breathes life into us. See, people say, I gave my life to Christ. How can you give your life to Christ? You have no life to give him. He gives you life. And if he's not the one giving you life, then you just have religion. You know, you read Matthew chapter 7. Read it and meditate on it. These folks did some mighty wonderful things, more than I've ever done. They've cast out demons in his name. They performed miracles in his name. But he said, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And he said that they were cast into the outer darkness where there's wailing and gnashing of teeth. See, that's what religion's going to do for you. He wants a relationship. He wants to do something for you that you can't do for yourself. He wants to set you on that pedestal. He's the one that wants to exalt you. And when he exalts you, he's the one that holds you there by the power of Almighty God. But when you exalt yourself with religion, you will fall. Look at the church today, folks. Look at the lawsuits. Look at the bickering. Look at the fighting. Does that sound like what I've been talking about this morning? Is there a unity? Is there unity bound together by the Holy Spirit? No, we're fighting and bickering. We're competing. These poor people that all these missionaries go to, and one of them's telling them you got to be baptized to be saved. One of them's telling you can lose your salvation. The other one's telling you this. The other one's telling you just say a simple prayer, and if you believe it hard enough, you're going. No one ever talks about, did you receive the Holy Spirit? And these poor people, that they're taking what they call the Word of God, is not the Word of God at all. It's a bunch of man-made garbage. And I'm telling you, it's up to you. You cannot blame anybody. Because he sent his son, he wrote it and preserved this. Be careful which translation you have. You can't hardly get the best one out there that's the closest to the Greek manuscripts is a New American Standard. Man is changing the Word of God so they can create a God to meet their own needs. You can't hardly find this translation anymore. Go look. If you don't believe me, go look. You can't hardly find it. Old preacher told me one time, says, get it. Get as many copies as you can because they're going to take it out of print. He says, because it's the true Word of God that we have been blessed with, us Gentiles have been blessed with. And they're going to change it. He says, eventually you're not going to be able to get it. God loves us so that we won't perish.